The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon. Peace and prosperity, and hello to all those in the name of the Lord Most God High. Well, I'm so glad to be with you today. I hope that you are tuning in with me today, and as we continue our teaching about the signs and the times of the coming of the Messiah, very important for us to understand these things. And I just want to tell you, you're always welcome to come to our congregation at any time. We meet on Saturday mornings at 10:17. He said, 10:17? Why 10:17? Well, when I was a manager with a large utility here in this state, sometimes we would set strange meeting times so people would remember that and be at the meeting on time. If you said 10 or 10:30, they were always late. But if you set some time like 10:17, it sticks in their head and they're going to be there on time. So then I had my leadership say, go through the scriptures. Look at all the 10:17, so we need a little theme scripture, and see what 10:17s we can find. So we had a meeting, we laughed and talked about all the 10:17s we saw, and then we saw one in Romans 10:17 that said, faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. We said, that's it, that's going to be our theme. So we said 10:17 is our start time based off of Romans 10:17. But that's Saturday mornings. That's the true Shabbat. And it doesn't mean that you can't worship on Sundays. You can worship on any day of the week you want because you are technically living in the Shabbat all the days of your life. As soon as you believed, you have entered into your Shabbat. So we basically need to treat every day like a Shabbat. But the whole idea about living in the Shabbat is God is your provider and he is your peace. And we live in the Shabbat today. But we choose to worship on Saturday because being a Messianic congregation, we have a lot of Jewish people, and they prefer to worship on Saturdays. But you are welcome. So if you got a Sunday church and you're just curious, come on down on Saturdays and join us at 10:17 and bring your fork and knife and everything, because when I teach the Word of God, it's usually deep, a lot of meat, sometimes potatoes, but very little fluff. So you're welcome to come. All right, we're going to continue with this teaching of signs and times of the Messiah. Now, why am I teaching this? As I mentioned in the previous teachings, because, you know, there's always some sensationalist writer out there somewhere with a new book he wants everybody to read about why this year or whatever the rapture is going to occur or the coming of the Lord will be coming and all that. So every year I always kind of, you know, start teaching a little bit about the signs and times of the coming of the Messiah to stop all that nonsensical teaching that people get all wound up on and say, this is it. I've actually had a man one time stand up in my congregation and go, you're wrong. This Feast of Trumpets is going to be the rapture. And he was adamantly positive the rapture was going to occur this Feast of Trumpets. And I said, no, it's not. How can you be so sure? Well, how can you be so sure it is? And then I said, there's a lot of things that haven't happened yet. And sure enough, it didn't happen. We're still here, so it did not happen. So I like to tell the people to pay attention to the scriptures, not sensationalism, and not reading in the scriptures wrongly and trying to set dates and times. Now, when I say the signs and times of the last days, it's not talking about setting dates, although there are some date concepts involved in it, but it's more of a window, you know, maybe even a 50-year window I'll be talking about. Not today, but in the coming weeks. And so it's important to understand those windows, and that you will know that you are in fact, you know, within a less than a 50-year window of the coming of the Messiah. You know, Jubilee's concepts, Hosea's concepts, the third day concepts, all these concepts that we have to take in consideration that would point out that we are certainly in the last days, and we are certainly probably in the last 50-year countdown. But when I say 50-year countdown, it could be anywhere in that 50 years. So it could be next year, or it could be 49 years from now. But it's important to understand these concepts that we can be ready for, always be ready for the Messiah all the time, because, you know, we could be caught off guard. And the last thing we want to happen is be caught off guard. The Bible says some people are not ready because they say he delays his coming, and they're just going to do what they want to do and not prepare themselves to meet the Messiah. So we're going to continue with this. I've been talking about Matthew 24, and in particular, we're going to begin at verse 14 in Matthew 24. I'm going to be talking about Matthew to finish off Matthew 24 in this series, and then I'm going to be talking about what Peter says, what Timothy says, what Revelation says, and then I'm going to be talking about some other items and things that would be important to understand the signs and the times. Of course, we're not going to get all that in today, but still, it's important to understand these things. So verse 14 of Matthew 24 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then the end shall come." All right. Well, the end shall come once the gospel is preached all over the world. So let's kind of break this down a little bit and talk about it for a moment there. So Yeshua came to teach the gospel of the kingdom. And yet somewhere down the line, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world. Many people misread that and think that it has something to do with, you know, sending out missionaries and reaching all the lost tribes and all these kind of things. No, that's not what that scripture is about. However, you know, we do know we are supposed to do those kind of things anyway, because we already have in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20, we are to go out and make disciples. So we already have a commandment to do that. But this particular scripture in Matthew 24:14 has nothing to do with going out and trying to missionary the entire world. This has something to do with what God is doing. God is going to do something really magnificent here. And when that happens, as a witness unto all the nations, then the end shall come. And what do I mean by the end shall come? The end shall come is probably more than likely the seven vials of Revelation poured out, known as the Great Tribulation. You know, if you're familiar with Revelation, you know that there's trumpets or seals and there's vials. But the seven vials being poured out is the actual wrath of God. When it says the church shall not experience the wrath of God, that's what it's talking about. So, you know, we could be here during the seals. We could be here during the trumpets, as a body of Messiah. But we should be out of here before the vials, because when God starts pouring out the vials on the earth, that is global judgments. Major things will occur across the whole world, like all the water will turn to blood, and the oceans and the fountains and the rivers and will all turn to blood. The sun will begin to scorch mankind on the earth. There'll be a great earthquake that will level every city on the face of the earth. And of course, Armageddon takes place during the vials that are poured out. So this is what we can expect to be coming, but we are supposed to miss that as believers. If you are a believer, if you are an overcomer believer, these things we will miss. And I will emphasize the overcoming again several times. You know, it says that, you know, those that overcome are the ones that will miss this stuff. And so if you call yourself a believer and you're living just like anybody else in the world, that's not overcoming. So you better learn to start overcoming, because that's very, very important. So I want to go from Matthew 14 to Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7. Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7 says there's going to be an angel that's going to fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. So what you see in Revelation 14 is the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14. This angel will fly all over the world declaring the gospel of the kingdom, and everybody will hear this angel. It's like God's last attempt to try to convince mankind to trust in him and believe in him before he pours out his seven vials of judgment upon the earth. You know, God doesn't want to see people perish, and neither do we want to see people perish, but this is coming. And so this angel, I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, would it be this angel have a booming voice and everybody will hear it? You know, what exactly how this is going to take place, we don't know. But this angel will proclaim the gospel all over the world, and that's what Matthew 24:14 is all about. So has that happened yet? No, hasn't happened yet. No angel has flown all around the world proclaiming the gospel. So we know the end is not here yet because this angel hasn't done his thing, but this angel will do his thing toward the end of the tribulation, making one last effort to reach people on the earth. So that's kind of important to know. Okay, let's go to verse 15 now. Very interesting verse here of Matthew chapter 24. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. Wow, 15 is loaded with information here. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. We have here what we call a parallel fulfillment. What do I mean by parallel fulfillment? It's talking about that there was a partial fulfillment at one time, but it wasn't the complete fulfillment, so it's not the actual fulfillment. And this is when, in what they call the silent years of the Bible, it was anything but silent, but in those silent years after the Alexander the Great had perished and died and was gone, and his generals divided up his empire, there eventually rose up a man called Antiochus Epiphanes, which means Antiochus God manifest. He thought he was God. And he swooped into Israel, and he proclaimed himself God, and he forbid the Jews to read the Torah. He forbid them to honor the feast or the Moedim of the Lord. He forbid them to circumcise. He just completely was trying to make them Hellenized, to worship Greek gods and all this kind of stuff. Of course, the majority of the Jewish people, not all of them, some of them joined right in with him, but majority of the Jewish people resisted, and they began to fight back against Antiochus Epiphanes. A lot of Jews were killed. A lot of Israelites were killed during this period of time by Antiochus, throwing them off walls, crucifying. You got to understand, crucifixion was something. The best recorded history that I've ever read on it was Alexander the Great started the crucifixions. So this guy was picking it up, and he was crucifying also. And there were times that they would, if a man had circumcised his little boy, they would crucify the man on a cross. And then while he's hanging on the cross, they would take the little boy in front of him and run a sword through the little boy, then hang the dead body of his little boy around his neck while he's hanging on the cross. This is how mean and violent these people were. And so Antiochus Epiphanes fulfilled quite a lot of the things that what we refer to as the Antichrist of the last days does. But I think what's happening here is the parallelism in Daniel. This was an actual guy, Antiochus, but God was using this to show us a shadow and a type of the bad guy who will come in the last days, which I believe is also the beast of Revelation. So it's going to be terrible times. So this abomination of desolation, now what was that during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes? The abomination of desolation was that Antiochus Epiphanes erected a statue of Zeus on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, then put his own face on the statue, and then he sacrificed a pig on the Temple Mount and spread the blood all over the place in the temple and on the Temple Mount of a pig, which is an abomination itself. So when the Jews rose up against him, they finally threw Antiochus out and defeated his army, and he had to cleanse up the temple and wash everything down, and that's where we get what we call Hanukkah today, because when they did a dedication of the temple, it was kind of a late tabernacle celebration, so it's called the Second Tabernacles, which we call Hanukkah the day of the Festival of Lights. And so that was all because of Antiochus Epiphanes. But it was a shadow and type of things that are going to be coming. So it's important for us to see these things. And so when we read Daniel, you know, a lot of Bible historians will say, oh, that's all about Antiochus Epiphanes. And I say, no, it is not all about Antiochus Epiphanes. That was just a partial fulfillment of something that is getting ready to come. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in Daniel to understand this. Daniel 11, verses 31 through 32, all the way to 37, says, the people that know their God shall do great exploits and be strong and prevail. So this, you know, the historians say, well, this had to do with the Maccabees that destroyed Antiochus Epiphanes. But it's more than that. When all this gets started, you know, folks, you got to understand that there's a good chance that we will be here when the beast of Revelation is here. Because you can see in the Bible at the last trump in Revelation 11, that's when the rapture occurs. That's when rewards are handed out. And the beast is already here. That's when the two witnesses are resurrected, that are killed by the beast. That's when it's all going to happen. That's the main rapture scriptures right there that's going to take place. And the beast is here. So many, many believers will lose their lives to the beast of Revelation. And so Daniel here is talking about here that the people that know their God, they're acquainted with their God. And this is a statement I always say all the time. It's not a matter of whether or not we know God. It's a matter of whether God knows us. That's what's important. Does God know us? But the people that know the Lord will do great exploits. And so during this time, when many believers are losing their lives, the true believers will stand up as martyrs and will do exploits against the beast himself. Revelation 11, 32:3 also says that they who understand among the people shall instruct many. And so they who understand, so it's believers have wisdom and understanding, will instruct many during this period of time. We'll be telling many around the world who Yeshua is and that they need to call on him and follow him even at the point of death. Then it goes on to tell us that many will fall by the sword and by the flame, which is probably a better interpretation, that would be spear or weapon, and captivity, and will become a prey or a spoil for many days. And so the people that understand what's going on and understand God will be martyred, is what it's really saying. Most of them will be martyred. And so we have to understand that these things have to come, and they're going to come. You know, when we read these things in Daniel, it says there's a time not yet appointed of the end. We read in verse 35, Daniel 11, so we know this is yet to come. But the other thing that's interesting in here is, too, is why I point out that this has not been fully fulfilled yet. Is in Daniel, it also says that he will take over Libya and Ethiopia. Antiochus Epiphanes never took over Libya and Ethiopia. So that was not a fulfillment of Antiochus Epiphanes. Never took over those areas. Matter of fact, when you read in Ezekiel 38, chapter 38, the Gog from Magog campaign against Israel names the nations that will come against Israel. And those nations are like Persia, Libya, Ethiopia. So that's another clue right there that the beast of Revelation will also be Gog, G-O-G. He will be him also. Like I said, Antiochus Epiphanes never took Libya and Ethiopia. So those things are yet to occur. And the main clue that it's going to happen is that Jesus, Yeshua himself, said in verse 15 of Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation take place. Now, the actual abomination of desolation, like I said, was when Antiochus Epiphanes erected a statue of Zeus on the Temple Mount. So that means there's in the future, not too distant future here, there's going to be another erection of some image on the Temple Mount that people are going to be forced to worship. And we read that the image of the beast in Revelation. The image of the beast will be installed on the Temple Mount, and people will be required to worship this image of the beast. And as soon as that happens, then the end is coming, because now the vials of God are going to be poured out upon the earth with God's great wrath, that a false god was erected on his land, on his temple area, and people are now worshiping it. So that's what the abomination of desolation is, spoken by Daniel. Then you get to verse 16 of Matthew 24. It says here that, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. In verse 17, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Verse 18, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. So what is this saying? This is saying, folks, that when this takes place, when the abomination of desolation takes place, that God is getting ready to rapture the church just prior to the pouring out of the seven vials. And so, but he's also saying for those that are not going to be raptured and that are still living on the earth, that when that happens, you better get the heck out of there, because the wrath of God is coming down. It's coming down fast, and you will not have time to pack. You will not have time to even contemplate or meditate about what's going on. You got to take off immediately. Then we got to verse 19 of Matthew 24. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. So he's basically saying woe unto the women that are pregnant, and woe unto the women that are, nursing their children during those days. Tough times are coming. Very, very tough times are coming. And when you're fleeing for your life and running for your life, it's kind of hard. When you got a little baby with you, it's very tough, and you're trying to protect your children. It's very tough. Verse 20 says, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. This is not talking about, this is not talking about violation of the Sabbath. This is talking about that during this time, on a Sabbath day, everything's closed. All the businesses are closed. People are off the street. So when you're fleeing and you're running, they're going to see you. People, the enemies are going to see you running, and you're going to be wide open and visible. And so this is why the Lord says, pray that it be not on the Sabbath day. Verse 21, Matthew 24. Well, then shall be great tribulation, such as it was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. This is the same thing it talks about in Daniel 12, where it says in there that when Michael stands up, there'll be a tribulation unlike anything ever known unto the world. And this is a direct reference to that concept. What does it mean by when Michael stands up in Daniel 12, verse 1? More than likely, Daniel is holding back the beast of Revelation. When the Bible says that, until that which restrains is taken out of the way, and people used to say, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. People are getting saved all during this time. It's not the Holy Spirit. But something's holding the beast of Revelation back, along with all the other bad angels. And this can only be Michael that's holding this back. And God's going to say, Michael, get out of the way. Let the bottomless pit open up. And here comes these bad guys. And so the evil will be upon us just like that. This will not grow slowly. We're not seeing some guy in a three-piece suit somewhere that wants to take over the world in the UN or European Union or anything else. This is a bad guy, probably an angel that was locked up in a bottomless pit, a vicious angel, and he will come with his cohorts, and they will begin destruction upon the earth. So that's it, folks. We'll continue this next week. Tune in back again, and we'll continue with this, that you can understand and be a wise man to the signs of the times. God bless everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.